In Tony's little talk before the offering, he encouraged us to appreciate and be thankful for the sanctuary, this building we have to worship. And as he was talking about dirt floors, it reminded me of a place in Cambodia where I did worship the Lord with the people there sitting cross-legged. Yes, I can still get down there and sit cross-legged on the floor with those people in Cambodia. I trust that we are also grateful for our pastor. I certainly am. And I would suggest that we pray for him right now. Father, you know our hearts, you know our thoughts, you know our actions. And right now we ask that you will fill our pastor with your love and peace, and that you will revitalize that deep love he has for you, and that deep love that he has for your people here that he shepherds. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We are certainly fortunate for a pastor who digs and digs into the gold mine of the Word of God. An amen or two would be appropriate at that point. And he offers those nuggets of God's truth to each of us every Sunday. Sometimes we take them and invest them in our lives. Sometimes we're thinking about the game that's going on and let those nuggets of truth fall to the ground. No, I trust not. Then he takes us through two or three verses at a time and promises to go on the next Sunday. But that week he has dug deeper and deeper, and we are back into those same verses, learning even more of the truth of God's word. I doubt that he's ever going to get us through the whole Bible. But we are certainly being enriched through the priceless lessons of truth that he shares with us each Sunday. So last Sunday, knowing that I would be speaking today, I asked him if he was going to go back again into verse 2 of chapter 12 to show how to renew our minds. He certainly made it clear that we need to renew our mind, that we are no longer to use the methods and the philosophies of this world as we are doing our work for the Lord. That our minds need to be renewed, he said. So he said, no, I was planning to go on to the gifts we are each given. So why don't you go back and do that lesson again on the renewal of the mind? So that's what we're going to do today. And I believe we're in good company with Peter, who said, I am repeating this for your good and mine, 2 Peter 1, 12 and 13. I would also make this point as an introduction. We sang two beautiful choruses this morning about the name of Jesus. And certainly the name of Jesus is above every name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of the Father. But even in the Word of God in Psalm 138:2, God acknowledges that he reveres his word even higher than his name. And so the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. I attended a conference many years ago here in San Diego, The Power of the Word to Transform Society. And I'm telling you, the heavyweights of the Christian community were here, and they were just pouring it out. And the last speaker, he was able to just take a few words and just repeat them over and over again. And still ringing in my ears were his concluding words as he said, the word, the word, the word, and just shouted it out at the top of his lungs. It is the word of God. Now, as I was preparing for the lesson, Yvonne suggested that I do a lesson from the book of Numbers where she was studying. So I told her she could speak this morning. So do you have your notes ready, Yvonne? Let's look at Romans 12. In context, the first 11 chapters, God has told us all that he has done for us. And then he begins chapter 12 in a transition. With your eyes wide open to the mercies of God. He has just spent 11 chapters telling us about the mercy of God. And so our eyes are now wide open to the mercies of God. What is the reasonable thing for us to do? Duh. To give our entire being back to him as a living sacrifice. And our pastor shared that so clearly the last several Sundays. It is the most reasonable thing to do. All he has given for us, all he has done for us. There's an old hymn of the church, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. What is the reasonable thing? He has done everything for us. The reasonable thing is to give our entire being back to him. So then in verse 2, in context, he says, as we are giving our entire being back to him, don't use the methods and philosophies of the world. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. But let God renew your minds from within. He goes on to verse 3 and says, as you are giving your entire being back to the Lord as a living sacrifice, not using the philosophies and methods of the world, don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your own importance. Many years ago, when I was directing the San Diego School of Evangelism, we had a 10-week fall quarter, 10-week winter quarter. Then everybody went out around the world on a 5-week we called it a practicum, and then came back for a 10-week spring quarter. And as we were preparing for that 5-week practicum, one of the young men who was going to be going to Hong Kong with the team, he came to school one morning. He says, God gave me a vision last night that I'm going to stand on this street corner. And he named the streets there in Hong Kong. I don't know. And he says, I am going to preach the gospel and all of Hong Kong is going to come to the Lord. Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance. But have a sane estimate of your capabilities. So as we are thinking about what we are, the gifts that Steve will be talking about next Sunday, the gifts that we have been given by the Holy Spirit, we should not get these wild ideas of, I'm going to go out to the streets of University and 30th and everybody's going to bow to the Lord. A sane estimate of our capabilities. Now, it is interesting in verse 3, the methods of the world, the philosophies of the world say that we measure our capability by what? Our IQ, our GPA, our good looks, at least some of you could claim that, I guess. Your strength, your physical prowess. Those are the methods of the world. And in verse 3, God the Holy Spirit, through Paul, says that we are to measure our capabilities by what? I heard it here. You're in Romans 12. Verse 3, you're looking at it, by the faith that he has given us. By the faith that he has given us. That's the measure of our capabilities, faith that he has given us. Now, some of you might be saying to yourself, but I just don't have very much faith. Well, the Word of God again tells us what to do. Get into the Word of God, for faith comes by hearing. Not the evening news, for sure. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so then, that's Romans 10, 17. Then in verses 4 through 8, Paul talks about those various gifts, and we'll be spending the next month on that, I'm sure. But then, verses 9 through 21, this is crazy. Only God would know this. And so Paul, through the Holy Spirit, knew that the very first issue to deal with when Christians start working together would be interpersonal relationship problems, how to get along with each other. So in verses 9 to 21, there are 25 solutions on how to get along with each other. Amazing. What a chapter. But let's go back to verse 2. And so those of you who are here, what was that, about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, when we put this diagram up on the board, and some of you said that might represent the mind because we're going to be talking about the renewal of the mind, but we decided to call it our body. For in Genesis 2:1, God formed man from the dust of the ground. And so this outer ring, for illustrating how we renew our minds from within, we're drawing this illustration. You have a copy of it there. You have a copy. You all have a copy of it there? Okay. And we see that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I was raised believing that our body was bad, that it was evil, that it was sinful. How wrong, how wrong. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body is good. Now, it is only temporary. It's our earth suit. It's something to live in. The real me lives in it. But it is good, though it is temporary. And it says that he breathed into that body the breath of life, our spirit, the pneuma, which is the seat of our motivations. Love, joy, compassion come from our spirit. So this upper segment is our spirit, the spirit of man. And when we trusted in Christ, the Spirit of God came and took up residence within us. Genesis 2:1 goes on to say, and he became a living soul. And so this middle section represents our soul. We are able to, it is our consciousness. We are able to relate to ourselves and to others. Through our body, we have these gates so that we can become conscious. We can see, we can hear, we can touch, we can taste, we can smell. Because we have thoughts, we have a mind, which is far beyond just some physical stuff that goes on in our brain. It allows us to think, and all that science is trying to do now to create a bionic human being so that we can live forever without God. We know that the mind goes far beyond just all of that electrical stuff that's going on up in our brain. We also have emotions, we have feelings, and we have one other part of our soul. Those of you who were here several months ago when I shared this, what is the missing part in our soul? Or you can look right on your paper. Okay, it's our will. We have volition, we have choice. And the thing is that for this illustration, that part of this being can go down and it can go up. And notice that when it goes up, it closes off that upper chamber. When it goes down, it closes off that bottom chamber. And so Romans 8:5 tells us that we can mind the things of the Spirit. We can allow the Spirit of God within us to control our thinking. This upper chamber is open, the lower chamber is shut off. Or we can, that same verse, Romans 8:5, tells us we can mind the things of our flesh. The upper chamber is closed off. The lower chamber is open. Both chambers can't be open at the same time or closed at the same time. We are either minding the things of the flesh or we are minding the things of the spirit. The flesh, the spirit, the flesh, the spirit, and it goes on. Back and forth, we know how that works. My way, God's way, my way, God's way. That lower chamber is labeled our sinful nature. Bible sometimes calls it our flesh or the old man. But Romans 6:11 says that we are to live our life as though we are dead to that sinful nature. But we don't focus on that. We don't say, oh, I want to be dead. I want to be dead. I don't like to mind the things of my flesh. I want to mind the... We don't focus on that, but we focus on the second half of Romans 6:11, which says, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we focus on that, thank you, Angel. We got one amen out of that one. When we focus on that second half of Romans 6:11, then we don't have to keep thinking about our sinful nature and how bad and how evil it is and how often we fall into that trap. And so in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul sums it up by saying, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved until the coming of the Lord. And so here we have the illustration for the renewing of the mind. And the next three verses, the next four verses, I believe, are the key ones. In Proverbs 20:27, we have to use our imagination a little bit and realize that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So we're going to let this, what is it called here? Whiteboard dry erase marker. This now is our spirit. Okay, can you let your imaginations roam a little bit and see this as our spirit? The spirit of man becomes the candle of the Lord. And the rest of that verse says that that spirit of man is to search all of the rooms of our belly. Good King James wording there. All of the chambers of our soul. And so in the chambers of our soul are thoughts and feelings about everything. And this is only a suggested list. Everything that we can possibly have a thought or a feeling about has a compartment in our soul that the Bible says that the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord to search all of those rooms of the belly, all of those chambers, all of those thoughts, all of those feelings that we have about everything. What is going to light the candle? What is going to be the light on the tip of the candle? Psalm 119:130 says that the entrance of your word, so again, the emphasis on the word of God, the entrance of your word is what brings light. And so there has to be a consistent, disciplined, study, reading and study of the Word of God. And again, I emphasize that because though I grew up in church, I was raised in a church. My father was a revivalist and we were in church every night of the week. And then when he died and we settled down in Wisconsin, we went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. If you didn't go all three of those times, your salvation was questioned. Yeah, that's the kind of church I grew up in. But we never took our Bible to church. We were not encouraged to read our Bible. What's wrong? Don't you trust the preacher? That's what we were told. We were not encouraged to be a Berean who went home and searched the scriptures to make sure that what Paul was saying was true. And so that's why I put such an emphasis on the word, the word, the word. It wasn't until I was an adult, many years into being an adult, before I started reading the word of God. So if the entrance of the word is going to give light to our candle to search all of those rooms of our soul, all of those chambers, all of those thoughts and feelings that we have developed through the years as we have looked at things, as we have heard things and seen things and smelled things and touched things, all of those thoughts and feelings that have developed because of that, our consciousness, we need to have the entrance of the Word of God to bring light to our spirit so that it will bring light to all of those chambers, so that we will be minding the things of the Spirit, so that we will be allowing the Spirit of God who is at residence in us to bring light to all of those thoughts and feelings and not mind the things of our sinful nature. Are you with me?
Yes.
Who's going to light that candle? You have it in your notes. Only this isn't advancing. Dear Brother Dan, can you advance it to the next frame? Did I push the wrong button here so it won't advance? There. Did you do that or did I do that? All right. The Lord will light my candle. It has to be the Holy Spirit, as we are reading and studying the Word of God, who will make that truth true in our spirit. An atheist, photographic memory, memorize the entire Bible. You could ask him, you know, Romans 3:21, and just like that, he could recite it. Revelation 20:19. Just like that, he could recite it. He said, see, I know the whole Bible. I still don't believe in God. He had it in his mind, not in his heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. And it has to be the Holy Spirit. It has to be the Lord who will light the candle. So here is the diagram. Here are the key verses. It is our spirit that becomes the candle that the Lord can use to bring light to all of our thoughts and feelings so that our mind will be renewed, so that we will be allowing our thoughts and our feelings to be controlled by the Spirit of God instead of, I hate it. I hope all of you hate it, because we know how often that volition just goes up and down, up and down. But how are we going to get that renewed mind? By allowing our spirits to be the candle of the Lord, searching all those chambers of our soul. It is the Word of God that is the light. It is the Spirit of God who is going to light the candle. He is the one, as we are reading and studying the Word of God, He is the one who is going to illuminate that to our spirits. We can know it in our mind. You just quoted a verse with me. We all know that verse in our mind. Do we really believe it in our spirit? So, I'm afraid, Dan, that you are going to have to do the advancing from now on. This shows that it still has power, but maybe not enough power. Can you advance it, please? Are you trying to advance it, Dan? Okay. I was in the backwoods of Bolivia. A group of... Okay. We're ready. We'll leave that illustration for another time. Next. So, we have modified the diagram a little bit and showing these as those chambers in our soul. And so... we want the Spirit of God to light our candle on some truth from the Word of God so that we can take that truth into these various rooms to bring light. Before we were a Christian, those rooms were all dark. All the methods and philosophies of the world controlled our thoughts and feelings. Next.
Give it a try.
Whoa. And so now we also have to use our imagination a little bit. That little eye there with the dot on the top, now that has become the candle, okay? We're having to go from illustration to illustration here. But that is the light that has come to us. And we are wanting to look at, first of all, companions or our relationships. What were the philosophies of the world? What were the methods of the world in relationship to developing friends? I'll be friends with you if you can make me look good. I'll be friends with you if you've got money. You see where we're going? Those were thoughts in our mind. Those were the methods and the philosophies of the world. But then we start reading and studying the Word of God, and we might come to Proverbs 12:26, which says, the righteous, because we are now righteous, we are good, not evil, the righteous should choose their friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. So we read that, we study it, we know it in our mind, But he's a nice guy. Yeah, he's got wrong attitudes towards his sexuality, but he's a nice guy. We need to choose our friends carefully. We need to allow the Spirit of God to illuminate the Word of God in our spirit. And so we have read that, and it has brought some light. We need to take that light into the room that here we have designated as our relationships. What are some other verses about relationships? I'm a teacher, not a preacher, so I'm coming out here because I want you to help and respond. What are some other verses that we know about relationships? A friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. Oh, come on. Really? That's not the world believes. But yes, it is in the Word of God. And when that becomes a part of our spirit, then good times and bad, we will love at all times. Yes. Okay, I don't know quite where that is, but...
Be at peace with all men.
Be it as much as is within you, live at peace with all men. And so that is another scripture that talks about relationships. And another, yes. Okay, forgiveness in relationships. There are thousands of verses that talk about relationships, our companionship. In John 17:15, Jesus is praying to his Father, and he says, I pray that you should not take them out of the world. Paul also said that, you know, you can't not have relationship with the people of the world. I would have to take you out of the world. But that you should keep them from the evil one. So that is another verse that brings light to this business of relationships. Yes, we can't not relate with people of the world, but our relating with them is on a totally different level. Another one that just came to my mind, I'm not sure if Peter said it, when believers are not living a godly life, when they are living in the world as worldly people, that we aren't supposed to even eat with them. Is that Peter? I think Peter said that. Psalm 1:1-2, blessed is the person who doesn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Wow. Do we go up to our sinful friends and say, I really want to know how I should do this. Do you have some advice for me? They will give us the methods and the philosophies of the world, which we are trying to not use. Second Corinthians 6:14. Stop forming intimate or inconsistent relations with those who reject the faith. We have 51 members in my immediate family, and I pray for them every day. And there is one grandson, I'll leave him unnamed, but he is desperate to get married. And he develops one relationship after another. Not godly, just... How about Ephesians 5? I was riding in the passenger. Somebody was driving, and there were some ladies in the back seat, and they... single ladies, and they were talking about the scriptures in Ephesians 5 about the husband that they were going to get someday. And all those, the three different places in that passage where it says They're supposed to love us. They're supposed to love us. They're supposed to love us. And I decided to throw a wrench in the whole thing by saying, yes. And what does it say about the women? Three times, but three different things. Obey, respect, submit. Boy, did it get quiet in the back seat. Anyway, as more and more truth from the Word of God becomes that candle in our spirit, it will bring light into our relationships. And we will be minding the things of the Spirit. We will be allowing the Spirit of God to be controlling our thoughts and our feelings. So, should I skip this next one, or should I allow what Pastor Tony shared before the offering to emphasize it? Let's look at this one. What in the world is that? That is a guard that we have hired because we don't want anyone looking into that room. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to fire that guard. And then, as the truth of God's word, the verse that he shared this morning, or the verse in Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18. You who say, my strength and the strength of my arms has earned me this wealth. Verse 18 goes on to say, you had better consider the Lord your God and realize that it is he who has given you the strength. Amen. And Proverbs 13:7, there is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing. There is one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. Or 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. Malachi 3:8. All of these verses. Whoops, wait, what happened? Oh my, even the lights on the platform went off. Those candles on the platform went off. What happened? We closed that upper chamber. Woo! You didn't know that was going to happen, did you? Because Neil started talking about my money. I don't want anybody talking about my money. And of course, what happened? That lower chamber opened up. Whoa. But we don't want that to happen. See, even the... Man... That was good synchronization there. Those candles are burning. And the candles in our spirit is burning as a candle because the Word of God, we have been studying and reading the Word of God, and God the Holy Spirit has brought light to our candles. So that, yes, we can walk into that room labeled money with more and more truth of the Word of God. Let me enlarge on this. Let me back up. And the words that Tony shared this morning were exactly what I heard the first time we went to Calvary Chapel on a Sunday morning. We have been going on a Thursday night because I was principal of a Christian school associated with the church. We had to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, or else our salvation was questioned, as I said. But Chuck had his Bible study on Thursday night, so we were going on Thursday night. Anyway, the first Sunday that we went to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, at that time the only Calvary Chapel, on Sunday morning, my cousin, who was one of the elders on the board, it was his turn to do the prayer before the offering. And he got up, and, you know, there's the rustling around for the reaching for the purses or reaching for the wallets. And he said, "Stop, stop." I thought, "Oh, no, Harold, you're not going to do it." Because what I was used to was a 20-minute sermon before the offering about how poor God was. And if we didn't give our money, the electricity would have to be turned off. One Sunday night, the pastor even said, "I have told the ushers to count the money and bring me up a slip of how much money you gave. And if you haven't given enough, we're going to take another offering." Now, that's what I grew up with. So when Harold said, "Wait a minute, wait a minute," that's what I was expecting. He says, no. "I know that some of you are reaching into your wallets to put money in the offering simply because you're afraid that the person next to you is going to see how much money you put in or don't put in." And he went on and on about God doesn't want that kind of money. Did you hear what Tony said this morning? You give it freely. God loves a cheerful giver. Of course, the one that I struggle with is 2 Corinthians 8:14, that there might be an equality out of your abundance meeting their needs, so that at another time out of their abundance they can meet your need. Amen. That there might be an equality. The verse begins and ends with that. And in that, it has been my privilege to travel around the world. As poor as I might think we are filthy rich in comparison to the Christians of the world. How do we deal with that, that there might be an equality? Now again, scriptures taken out of context are not good. And so with that one, we at least have to go back to verse 12, which says, "But first there must be a willing mind." And so it does have to come out of a willing mind. And then, of course, the beautiful passage in Exodus 35, where Moses says, "You're going to provide all the things that are necessary for the building of the tabernacle." And in chapter 35, the people started giving and giving and giving and giving more. And the men whom God had appointed with the skills to do all the craft work, they said to each other, "Hey, we've got plenty of stuff here. We don't need any more." So the next day they went to the people and said, "Stop giving. We don't need any more." But they wouldn't stop giving. And day after day, "Stop giving, stop giving." They wouldn't stop giving. One day the workers had to go to Moses and say, "Hey, Mo, they won't stop giving." And scripture tells us in Exodus 36, that Moses had to go out and constrain the people from giving. Why? 6 or 7 times in that chapter, it says they had a heart that was made willing. They gave willingly. They had a willing heart. And so again, these are the scriptures that we know. We know them in our mind. But has our spirit been illuminated by that word of God, by the Spirit of God, so that that truth is in our heart, so that we might not sin against God? And so more and more truth comes into that area. We give these three just as illustration, but as I said, everything that we can possibly have a thought or a feeling about has a chamber in our soul. We have thoughts and feelings about everything. And the methods and philosophies of the world leave those rooms dark. But as the truth of the Word of God, our spirit being illuminated by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, brings light into those compartments. And so let's take a look at another one. A big one today is media input. Oh my. Proverbs 27:20. Hell and destruction are never full, are never satisfied. So the eyes of people are never satisfied. Neither are people's desires ever satisfied. David, in Psalm 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. He went on in verse 37 of Psalm 119, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. Our son Byron and his family are up from Mexico, where they're working with Wycliffe down there in Oaxaca. And he bought us a new Blu-ray DVD something or other. Anyway, this is how much I know about electronics, all right? And we can now get 100 channels on the TV, and then on, what is that, for the music, Pandora. We can get Pandora and music and... Oh. Psalm 119, verse 37, I need to review that one again. I will put nothing worthless before my eyes. And of course, Job, one of the first guys to write in the Bible, in verse 1 of chapter 31, he says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. And you know other scriptures that talk about the importance of the covenant that we are to make with our eyes, or the covenant that we're to make, and that it's better not to make a covenant than to make one and not keep it. Terrible, terrible. So he made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look lustfully on a young woman. And light comes into this area of media input, the music we listen to, the things that we look on television or wherever. As the process goes on, more and more light is brought into each of these rooms, into these chambers. This is the how of verse 2. How do we renew our mind? Not allowing the world around us to squeeze us into its mold? By this process of allowing our spirits to be the candle of the Lord, searching all those rooms. The Word of God becomes the light. It is the Spirit of God. 1,000 sermons will not illuminate our spirits. It is the Spirit of God that will illuminate our spirit with the Word of God so that we can walk with Jesus into those chambers of our soul and find that we are more and more allowing the Spirit of God to control the thoughts and feelings of our soul.